Here we are at Enterprise Connect 2024, and I'm with Lewis Fajardo, who's a Chief Information Officer at Life Extension. Lewis, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well. What about you?
Great. What a busy show. Lots of AI discussion, but lots of, you know, really great innovations on show. Lots of people hanging around after the Microsoft keynote. I know that's just finished, but Lewis, I saw your session yesterday. Really keen to dig into your implementation journey from on-prem to cloud.
Yeah.
I know it sounded quite interesting. So first of all, tell us a little bit about what you do at Life Extension and ultimately the infrastructure that you own as a CIO.
Sure. Well, I'm CIO at Life Extension and responsible for all IT security infrastructure and been with a company over 18 years now. Life Extension, we are a supplement, a premium supplement company. We have different type of products, and at the core, Life Extension is an information company. We started over 40 years ago providing health information to our customers, and then we started to build the products that came out of those interactions. To this day, we do a lot of other services like clinical research. We have a staff of wellness specialists that help our people to call and perhaps do a blood testing and help get some suggestions of what things to do or to advise them to work with their doctors to take care of their health.
Fantastic. And I remember picking up that you're multi-site. Just talk us through kind of the number of users you've got and
sure.
The kind of disparate kind of network of UC and contact center solutions.
Yeah, we Life Extension, it's a mid-sized organization. We have over 400,000 customers around the world, and we have a business to consumers and business to business. So in our call center, we have two call centers. One is Las Vegas and the other is in Florida. And we have about 170 concurring agents, 200-230 total. Again, we have different skills, customer service, customer care, the wellness specialists they mentioned. We have our wholesaler department. That's kind of a bit of a short version of what we do in the call center.
Fantastic. And just take us back, cast your mind back to, I suppose, the decision-making around wanting to move from on-prem to cloud.
Yeah.
How did that come around? What were the kind of business drivers?
For Life Extension, the customers are first and the most important thing. Ever since I joined Life Extension, one of the things we were really looking at is high availability, always be there for the customer. So Life Extension, for example, we are a 24/7, 365 organization. We actually do not have an IVR on our call center. We purposely want customers to call and get a live agent on the line. So as we go through the years and progressing of the technologies, the cloud, of course, becomes evident that is the way to go, to grow, to be able to deploy newer capabilities. So we started to migrate other systems. Some are custom homegrown systems, other are with vendors. In the case of the phone system, we came from an Avaya on-prem to Genesys Cloud, and it's part of our journey to the cloud. It's one of those steps. In this case, the vendor switching our technology on-prem give us more capabilities. So,
an opportunity to switch more features on by the sounds of things, improve the kind of agility of the contact center. And it didn't all go great, did it, the first time around? Tell us about that and kind of, what did you learn?
Yeah, projects like this are very risky, for Life Extension. As I said, the customers are everything, So for us to be down on our call center is a huge problem. Of course, not only for the sales, but be there for our customers. So we started this journey to move our phone system to the cloud with a different vendor, and that didn't go well. And part of the reasons it didn't go well is the expectations of our users, what they wanted to see in the application, the technology. Part of it too is people is used to what they know for 20 years, and now is you're changing something. So we learned some lessons from that initial vendor implementation. Other things to consider on the cloud, for example, for us, with this goal of always being there, we built a very robust on-premise installation. We had dual carriers, dual phone systems. We have a disaster recovery in Las Vegas and primary in Florida. So moving to the cloud required us to have a very reliable, really solid system. And some of the lessons we learned on the first implementation is that when it came to tests, those capabilities, those were not there. So we had to back out of that. Of course, we learned a lot, and then we started the second round with all that knowledge, not only internal, but also with a vendor. And that's where we approached, we started again the journey, okay, what are the vendors that we're going to look at? And we selected Genesys, given their ability to integrate. Another thing we wanted to do is a system that is very modern, API-centric, and allow us to do a lot of the customizations and integrations with our custom CRM. We didn't want to lose that employee experience in the interaction. So the process, it was, you know, for Genesys implementation, honestly, was really smooth. Lessons learned, for example, that we applied in that with a selection of Genesys is the partner, implementation partner. For that, I knew what I experienced in the first round is that I selected a partner that was part of the pre-sale discussions. And then when it came time to implement, I was introduced to a new team. So that meant to my people, my users, and to repeat again all the things that they wanted for the platform to do. So they had to start all over again. These guys didn't take notes, they didn't pass along the notes from pre-sales to sale. So the second round, we said, okay, I want the implementation partner to be part of the pre-sale cycle. And I don't want just the company, I want who is gonna be my PM and my engineer that will eventually implement the system, be part of the pre-sale cycle. So I basically have them on calls with Genesys and them, hearing my users, my questions. We created a workshop, all this part of pre-sales. We haven't, you know, signed anything. It's just we're learning the platform. We want to understand not only the capabilities of the platform, but also the vendor, the implementation partner that is going to do the implementation to be sure they know what they're talking about. So that was a big lesson, and that worked out really well. I mean, it was a very natural continuation. They knew what we needed because they heard it from before even signing.
And that additional value that they gave you there, without even signing a contract, they, you know, went with you on that journey.
Yeah.
You know, did are you still with them today?
Yeah, I mean, not actively working with them. We are not at this point implementing any other functionality. We're looking to implement workforce management as a next phase. We first went live with voice only. The second round was like 2 months after that, which they helped with was the chat, the web chat. And the next phase is the workforce management. We still use as another vendor for that, which integrates well with Genesys, but we want to, you know, take advantage of the Genesys capabilities and just bring it all into one platform. So that will be the third phase, and most likely I'm going to be working with them as well.
And it sounds like just partnering up early is a real key lesson for our audience to maybe take away from this discussion is, you know, partner early, really get the buy-in,
right.
and you'll be on the road to success.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. The other piece that I will say that worked out really well for us in the negotiations with a vendor, in this case Genesys, is allowing, and this is tricky always with any technology that you buy, is can I have a POC? Can I have a sandbox to play with? So that's really hard because, you know, you're talking about implementing a whole system, expanding, you know. So we're able to do a workshop prior signing, but we created a ramp-up period that allows us to go through the implementation. And that ramp-up period was enough for us to even go live, or we selected our go-live date to be prior to the end of that ramp-up period because we had very clear success criteria. So contractually, we didn't have a POC, but we had success criteria. And that success criteria, of course, is during implementation, but you don't see it until you go live. So we purposely were really aggressive on that go live. We actually went live from kickoff of the implementation to go live in less than 90 days. It took us 80 days, 80, 80 days to go live.
It's pretty fast for such a big estate.
Yeah, and we're talking about migration of over, not only migrated the Avaya platform, but also the voice network. We moved out of Lumen into Genesis Voice, migrating all our toll-free numbers, our DIDs, everything in under 90 days. So very risky, but we had really clear success criteria, and we were able to go live. Nothing happened, so we are happy with Genesis right now. But I will advise anybody going into this journey is, you know, create a way to either a POC, which I never seen this type of companies do that, but a way to get out before it's 3 years, you know, with a partner that you're not happy with. So you have to find a way, and we find that in the ramp-up period and a success criteria.
And it's in the word, isn't it? Partner. You know, it's a partnership. You've really got to go on that journey together. But it sounds like that flexibility that the partner offered and the proof of concept was highly valuable. Yeah. So in terms of looking forward now, you know, for Life Extension, you're now in the cloud. Does that open the door to things like AI? Because we're talking a lot of AI here at Enterprise Connect. Yeah. You know, what's next for the business?
No, 100%. I mean, again, part of the reasons we selected Genesis is their modern approach, their API approach, the integrations which we're using, but also the roadmap. And AI is, I mean, every company has it now. A company our size, we wouldn't be able to build this on-prem or in the cloud, so we need to take advantage of vendors that are providing those technologies. How do we integrate those capabilities into our flow, make it all very transparent to our employees? So, looking at knowledge management, augmented with Gen AI, taking that to agent assist on the call, auto-summarization. For example, our wellness specialists, this is a perfect example. They spend today a lot of time when they talk to a customer, taking notes as they go in the conversation, trying to capture what the customer is saying, because we ask them to create a summary at the end of the call. This is all by hand today. What that means is my agents having to be distracted in a way, because they're not just paying attention and asking questions, but also taking notes, and at the end spending a lot of time summarizing that call. So the future is, I don't need to worry about taking notes. I'm talking to this customer, very empathetic, very engaged, and then the system has a summary for me that I can review, make corrections if needed, and then commit to the system. And then taking that knowledge to the bots online. We will definitely not put health recommendations online from a bot perspective today, but it's definitely customer service, automation of some processes, canceling an order, the status of an order, you know, helping that self-service on the line. Those are capabilities that, again, a platform like Genesis or others provide out there, and that definitely does the next level.
Fantastic. Endless opportunities, as we've seen. Yeah, we've got lots of use cases on show here at Enterprise Connect, but, you know, to explore. But I imagine this time next year there's going to be a whole tranche more of you know, features and functionalities that we can explore in the CX world and the UC world. So, Hey, thank you so much for joining me today at Enterprise Connect, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Pleasure. Thank you very much, Rob.